is The Talking Dead, a podcast dedicated to the AMC TV show The Walking Dead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chris.
And my name is Jason.
And this is The Talking Dead, number 597. Recorded on Monday, September the 26th, 2022. Welcome, everyone. Jason, as always, how was your week?
It's quite good. Quite good, Chris. Thank you for asking. Had the father-in-law over for the weekend. We went to the zoo. It was fun. And that was pretty much it. How about you? How are you doing?
Wait, so second zoo trip in like 2 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
We've been to the zoo twice in the last little while. Turns out it's super close.
Yeah.
Lots of animals.
I'd be disappointed if you went to a zoo and there weren't lots of animals, but yeah, that's
good.
Well,
yeah, we went to the Discovery Zone where the kids portion of the zoo, not that the whole thing isn't a kid's thing, but the kids portion of the zoo, there were no animals. There was all kinds of signs that said animals off display.
Was it a weather problem or like what was going on?
It could be. I mean, September, there was, you know, guinea pigs and gophers and prairie dogs and various, you know, stuff like that. Like
those,
birds.
Those aren't all the same. So, they're all similar.
They're not all the same. Guinea pigs and prairie dogs are totally different.
All right. For sure.
Well, that's... Gophers are a whole other thing.
All right. Well, I need to go to the zoo more, apparently, to find out the difference. But that sounds fun. Glad you had a good time.
It was fun. We had a good time was had by most.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. That's all you can ask for, really. I'm doing okay. I don't know what it is this week, but I feel like I'm allergic to everything. I've been walking around for a week sneezing and blowing my nose, and I'm not sick. I don't feel sick. I just feel like I have allergies constantly, and I don't know if that's weird for this time of year, but right now I'm doing okay, but I'll try to ride the mute button if I have to sneeze a lot or something, because I've been sneezing. It's weird.
I sneeze too. No, I don't think it's abnormal for this time of year. I mean, it's a sneezy kind of time of year.
Maybe. The weather changing. It's getting cooler. We're into fall now. I don't mind it. I like it. We've had some nice fall weather this week, or early fall weather. So I'm okay with that. But it's making me sneeze for some reason.
Well, you gotta take what you take.
Or it could be the fact that I haven't cleaned the Talking Dead studio in a long time, and it's a little dusty. So I should probably maybe do that, and that might help.
That's probably not it.
I don't know. I spend a lot of time down here. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. It is the week in between the end of Tales of the Walking Dead and the beginning of the third half of The Walking Dead. So as we record this, we are less than a week away from the premiere or the re-premiere of season 11 for The Walking Dead. But there's a few things going on in terms of listener feedback and some Walking Dead news that I figured we'd throw out here to, get us through this week-long gap before we get back into the real meat of the podcast, which is covering The Walking Dead next week.
Super.
So that's what we are here to do.
For the last time.
For the last stretch of episodes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more towards the end of this show. But you're right. You are right. When we record next, Jason, it will be the home stretch of The Walking Dead. I know. I know it's a lot to take in, isn't it? All right, let's get going, though, and start with a little bit of feedback.
Listener feedback.
I am going to begin here with an email from Julie on the internet. Julie writes, "Hi, guys. I'm worried my brain is broken. I swear, in the scene in La Doña, when the pictures fall off the wall and Eric sees scenes of him stabbing away, those people he and Idalia are stabbing are breathing humans, not walkers. Can you take a look? I feel like they had to kill Maria's group because they turned on Idalia after the whole Maria broke her ankle thing, and that added to their stress that caused their visions in the house. It's also interesting that Idalia seemingly left Maria when she broke her ankle, but somehow Maria tracked her and Eric down and followed them as a walker. To me, that makes me think Idalia lied about what happened to Maria." So that's basically what I understood happened in the episode, except that I'm dumb and I didn't notice that the people in those photos that he was killing, or the flashbacks of, you know, the photos, were living people. So it just sort of reinforces the whole storyline that, yeah, they went through this thing with Maria's group and he killed them. And that's primarily what Eric feels guilty about.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I didn't really notice that either, but that stands to reason.
Yeah. It was some fast cuts and it was dark and things like that. But what it comes down to is they were with these people. Adalia goes out. Maria has this broken ankle. Anyways, you know, they turn on them. Eric sticks up for her and then they end up having to kill them all. And, you know, that's where they are now. Zombie Maria follows them back, remember? And then we see Eric hallucinating about living Maria at the gate. So
right. It
all comes back to they've done some terrible things and I think they feel guilty about it. And I think, like I said last week, you know, it's a common or a familiar theme within the Walking Dead universe and all of the shows, but I thought it was a slightly different take on it. A little more specific of a take in a way than just saying, can you live with all the terrible things you've done, or can you still be a good person after having done all those things? Whereas here it was more specifically, can you live with the guilt of doing terrible things and not have it drive you crazy?
Very nicely split hair.
Yeah, maybe, but it worked for me. So there you go. All right. Well, very good. Thank you, Julie, for that, for pointing that out in case anyone else out there missed it as well. Okay. Nathan in Sydney, Australia, longtime listener. I think the only way that Tales could have brought something valuable to the Walking Dead universe is if they had steered away from character development and really leaned into exploring novel, interesting concepts. Unfortunately, however, I think they tried to do both. In the end, there wasn't enough time for us to start caring about the characters, and the concepts they introduced just weren't strong enough to feel exciting. For example, in episode 4, I think they had a great concept going with the nature documentary idea, but it became dull when they introduced Amy and tried to make us care about those characters. I think it would have been a better episode if they had doubled down on the documentary concept and shown us the ins and outs of Dr. Everett collecting data, doing tests, and discovering patterns in the walkers' behavior. I still thought Tales was a decently entertaining show. However, it's not much to write home about when compared to the main show. What do you think, Jason? Is that a problem that they should have focused on sort of concepts more than character development because there's not enough time to really get us to care about characters in single episodes?
It's tough. You know, single episodes, it's tough to figure out what to focus on because you can't focus on everything. You've got to focus on something. So it sounds to me like from a show concept point of view, they decided that character was what they would be focusing on.
But I just worry that if you just focus on concept, we'd be all complaining that we don't know anything about these characters, right?
Yeah, we'd be in an Arthur C. Clarke novel at that point. You know, the most human character that Arthur C. Clarke ever wrote was Hal. So, you know, yes, the concepts are fantastic, and he's one of my favorite authors of all time,
mm-hmm.
but his characters are flat. Most of the time, his characters are pretty flat, except for Hal. Hal was great. And he was the most developed character in all of... So if you focus on concept, it can be a really good thing. Arthur C. Clarke is a very good example of this. But if you focus on character, then it can be very good. I'm listening to a series of books right now that I fucking love, and they're very character driven.
Yeah.
It's called Dungeon Crawler Carl, where aliens come down and take over the planet Earth and take all of humans and put them into a dungeon. They turn the crust of the Earth into a dungeon, and then they put it on TV, intergalactic television, how humans survive the dungeon. And it's funny because it's him and it's Carl and his cat, Princess Donut.
What did you say? Intergalactic Dungeon Crawl Carl? Or
it's called Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Oh, okay.
The series where it's him and his cat. He ended up in the dungeon with his cat, Princess Donut, who is a show cat. And they gave her a cat treat that turned her into a sentient being. So now she's a magic user.
Of course. Sounds like a great series of novels.
It's funny. I thought at first that it was going to be a bunch of young adult stuff because I get sucked into young adult novels every now and again, but it's definitely adult themed.
Okay.
There's no young adult about it. There's some pretty, one of the demons they have is the severed head, the animated severed head of a sex doll.
Of
kind
course.
Of thing.
Of yeah. course.
Anyway, very character driven. So character driven stories can be fantastic. You know, scenario driven or, you know, those other kinds of stories can be also very, very good. But at that point, you have to be Arthur C. Clarke to write a novel that's that quality that doesn't focus on characters.
You know, while you were talking about that, I was thinking, like, is it easier to do character or is it easier to do concept? Or can you do both? Like, when you think about Black Mirror, you know, Black Mirror is a great show and it's anthology based for the most part. New characters, new concept every week. I think there are very few episodes of Black Mirror that are bad. In fact, maybe there are none that are bad. There's just some that are slightly better than the other good ones.
Yeah, it's hard to make everything fantastic, right? Something, if you accent everything, you accent nothing. But even if you have all kinds of good quality, even the crappy ones are of supreme quality.
So is Black Mirror doing good characters and good concepts, or is it? Or is it easier, or are the concepts so good on that show that you don't notice that the characters are a little bit flat?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it with that bent. It might be easier with Black Mirror because Black Mirror has the, it doesn't have it's its own established universe, right? Or multiverse.
Yeah.
Whereas with The Walking Dead, we have an established universe. These concepts have to fit within a long time established set of rules.
True. But, maybe that's the difference. You're right. We have all the periphery around this show of the rest of the Walking Dead universe, whereas Black Mirror, each episode can have its own rules and exist within its own universe.
Yeah. And look, when you get to concept, that second episode there where they had the Groundhog Day situation, it broke my fucking mind.
Right.
Like, and I'm still thinking about it, and it's just it's too much. And they kind of, anyway, they kind of, you know, eased away from it with that folie à deux, which is now a system in my lexicon,
mm-hmm.
or a phrase in my lexicon. So, you know, when you go too much on concept, you're gonna break me.
Yeah, but it broke your mind. But you called it last week your favorite of the six episodes.
It absolutely was.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little bit more evidence that maybe what Nathan is saying is true. Focus on concept and the characters will just come along in a way.
That episode had pretty solid characters, though.
Well, it did, actually. So I guess you can do both.
It all has to be good. And that just turned out to be stellar.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Very interesting. Thanks, Nathan, for that. Mike in Des Moines, Iowa writes, when Tales from the Walking Dead started, I had no idea that it would largely end up being an anthology show that is more Twilight Zone or X-Files than The Walking Dead. I came into this show believing that it could give the viewer some insight into other people, communities, and time periods of the apocalypse that weren't addressed in the main show. And for the most part, that didn't happen. Instead, we were given a Groundhog Day episode, the 1,000th take off the movie Memento, and a haunting of the week. The bulk of the episodes weren't even grounded in reality, and that's saying a lot for the Walking Dead universe. My expectations, based on the marketing of the show, was so different from what was delivered with the finished product, and I'm still trying to figure out if I liked it or not. I'm still not sure what to make of it, and I wonder if others feel the same. I think they do, Mike. I think they do. It was a little all over the place. Yeah.
It was, and we do have a bunch of derivative works here. We have, like you say, Memento. We have Groundhog Day. We have Haunting of the Week kind of thing. And then we had Terry Crews doing boring stuff. It was weird.
Yeah, though that's the worst part about the first episode, if we can go back to that, Terry Crews and Olivia Munn. It was the most standard, straight-ahead, entry into The Walking Dead, and it played boring, I think, because of that.
Yeah. The only interesting thing in that whole movie, or that whole show, other than the goat, was
lamb.
The lamb, whatever, was the different colored rooms.
Right.
turn right to yellow, left to red, and then the green room. What happened in the green? I forget what the exact colors were, but there was one color that we didn't explore. I want to know what the fuck's going on in there.
Yeah. But it's just so straight up. It's like these two characters go on a road trip, you know, to find something. They come across clown-faced lady in the bunker, and they end up killing her. And then just unfathomably walking away from that place, you know?
Yeah.
But then they explored, you know, what happens to people who take over someone's residence in the final episode. Right. And we saw what happened to them too. So maybe they made the right choice of walking away and not moving into someone's house that they just killed.
Yeah. You'd kill somebody and take over their house. It's haunted. Of course.
Of course. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, remember they changed up the order of all these episodes at some point and they put that one first. I wonder if they put it first because they kind of knew it was the most straight up and people, they wanted to get past it and hopefully have people forget about it, you know, after they saw the second one, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyways, thank you, Mike, for that. Moving right along, I have a call here from Jennifer. You heard from Jennifer last week, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, about that particular episode, but she included a bunch of thoughts on all of the episodes, so this is the rest of her call. It's a little bit long, but here we go.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Jason. It's Jennifer in Minneapolis. Episode one, I just plain didn't like. The conflict was so created, and I know that, like, that's the thing that they're creating conflict, but it was so obvious to me and it was really unnatural and I just didn't like it. And also, why in the hell wouldn't they stay in that underground bunker? It was like perfect. That seemed just so stupid to me that they would even leave. So I didn't like that one really at all. I liked both actors, but I just didn't like the episode at all. The second episode, my notes, I just have these little notes and it says so weird, so good. And I mean, I love Parker Posey. I think she's awesome. And I thought that the whole, you know, Groundhog Day thing was really strange and really cool. And I really liked it as a standalone episode. So I thought it was great. Although I agree with the caller about that would have been awesome if her nieces would have been Lizzie and Mika. I thought that would have been so cool because it wouldn't have had to do with anything. It would have just been like the perfect little ending, but missed opportunity there. Episode three, I felt like that was my favorite of the five so far. And I agree. I was not that interested in seeing Alpha's backstory, but I thought that she was so good. And I really liked the idea that she was sort of creating her own reality. You know, like you guys talked about, that she was sort of creating the disaster, that she just probably does that everywhere she goes. So she's got some major issues. And I really liked the ending a lot. I also wondered, like, when did they meet Beta? What is going on here? And I feel like the whole episode was basically a retcon, because I think that people didn't understand the whisperers and why they even existed, and I think this was sort of explaining it. But I think it was done so well that I don't care, because I just thought it was so good, and I thought Samantha Morton was amazing, better than actually she was in the television show. Episode four, I just listened to the podcast where you guys are talking about that. I'm not finished with it yet, but honestly, I just hated it. I hated, like, most every minute of it. I really liked the actress that played the Asian woman, Poppy Liu, I think you said her name was. I was really excited about Anthony Edwards. I thought he was just, his acting was fine, but I just thought it was so stupid and I hated it. I guess maybe just because I hate it being about the zombies. I don't care. I don't care why they're migrating, quote unquote, because I think that's just stupid. I hate the fact that he's studying them. I hated the whole nature documentary thing. I thought it was just dumb. You cannot convince me that in 2010 there was drones good enough to make a nature documentary that was like PBS style. I just thought it was really lame. I just did not like it. I feel like they were just sort of unnaturally creating conflict. Like, why, after he told her he wouldn't help her, didn't she just leave him alone? Like, why did she just keep going at this one person? Another side note, I hated that she called them chompers. Who would make that up and just go with that? I think it's so dumb. I love walkers. I liked roamers. I even liked biters okay, but thought that chompers, I liked the fact that everybody calls them something different, but that was just, I couldn't take that. It just was too much for me.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer, for that. So she sent that in before the episode 6 had aired, but we heard from her last week about it anyway. So episode 1, conflict was created and unnatural. I can sort of see that, you know, these two characters, you know, both had to go on this road trip and that's that. Episode 2, so weird and so good, but could have had a connection to The Walking Dead main show. I mean, you could say that about any of the episodes, I guess, but it definitely was kind of weird and good. Episode 3, favorite of her 5 so far. That was the Alpha episode. Samantha Morton, really good. I would definitely agree with that. And she doesn't care about kind of the retcon aspect to it, which I guess if the episode is good enough, that's totally valid.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if they're, and frankly, it doesn't completely retcon it yet, because I just don't think we have all of that story yet. And I think we are going to, if Tales comes back for season 2, I wouldn't be surprised if we get another Samantha Morton story and an extension on that, tying it all together.
Sadly, probably we're going to get, I don't want it, but we're
going to
get,
oh, right. You don't want it, but we're going to get it. Yeah. There's no announcement yet if it is going to be renewed for more episodes, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't. Finally, episode 4, she hated that one. That was the Anthony Edwards nature documentary one. It was my least favorite too. It's too bad, because Anthony Edwards, awesome. Everything else about that episode, not awesome.
Yep.
That's sad. All right. Thanks, Jennifer, for summarizing all of that. Finally here, I have got an email from Chantal from a beautiful spring morning in Brisbane, Australia.
Nice.
She says, I just wanted to say thank you for your excellent coverage of the Tales series. Another spinoff I didn't need to watch because I could listen to you guys instead. Now, before I go on, you know, this is not the first listener, Jason, I've heard from that says something like that. I don't watch the show anymore, but I listen to you guys, or I, you know, I don't need to watch it anymore because I listen to you. I didn't watch the spinoffs because your podcast covers them anyways. Is it possible, Jason, that we are doing a disservice to AMC and the Walking Dead universe?
No, fuck no. That. We're not. Do you think we're affecting their ratings? Is that what you're asking?
No,
people, but people don't have to watch the show because they can just listen to the podcast.
Well, I'm not going to say we're affecting the ratings in any such way, but like, how many people do I have to hear from that say, you know, I stopped watching a long time ago, but I continue to tune into it, to us, to you guys.
Well, two things. One, I listen to FilmSack religiously, and I rarely watch the movies. Most of the movies I've seen before,
right?
But I never stay up to date. Like, I don't watch the movie and then listen to FilmSack, because they announce the movie that they're going to talk about next, and then they talk about the movie. You know, if I don't watch the movie, whatever, I don't care. It's still fun to listen to them talk about whatever it is they're going to talk about.
Sure, yeah. It's a little different, though, because they do old movies, right? It's not like those movies are looking...
They do recent stuff. They do some recent stuff as well.
All right.
They've done some recent films. They're all over the friggin' map, right?
Yeah.
So the second thing is, I wish that I had that option, that I didn't have to watch some of these episodes.
Well, especially Fear, right?
Especially Fear.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm tired of watching it. You know, I wish I had the option. I guess I could listen to another podcast about the episode instead of watching it, but then that would give me a different opinion than my own or yours, which I staunchly refuse to do. So I guess I'm stuck with watching the episodes most of the time. I mean, there has been a couple of occasions where I watched the wrong episode, or... we had to delay the podcast so I could finish watching the episode. I mean that's happened a couple of times.
You still watch them, though, yes.
Yeah, I still watch them.
Okay.
Except for that one movie, that the Accidental Husband,
right,
which I had to watch 5 times, which is still ingrained in my genetic code now. Jasper probably knows that movie.
He probably does. Yeah. No, that was your punishment for missing that. I understand. Anyways, I'm not too worried about it. I just think it's funny that I hear from people like that all the time. And no, we're not doing a disservice to anybody. We're nothing but servicing people.
Yes.
Anyways, Chantel goes on. I also wanted to draw your attention to an old TV show called Tales of the Unexpected. It was a Twilight Zone kind of show. I thought of it when you were discussing the title of this anthology, and I think Chris may like it. I was young when it was on TV in the UK, but I remember it being weird and entertaining. So Jason, a British TV show called Tales of the Unexpected. I had never heard of this, but I went to look it up. And on in the Wikipedia page, it said, Tales of the Unexpected is a British television series that aired between 1979 and 1988. Each episode told a story, often with sinister or wryly comedic undertones, with an unexpected twist ending. Every episode of Series 1, 8 episodes of Series 2, and 1 episode of Series 3 were based on short stories by Roald Dahl, collected in the books Tales of the Unexpected, Kiss Kiss, and Someone Like You. And in fact, Wikipedia, Jason, lists the creator of this show as Roald Dahl. Obviously, best known for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but wrote lots of other stuff too. So I am extremely interested in this show because of that description from Wikipedia and Chantel saying it was good. I need to track it down if I can.
What? My first thought is shut up and take my money.
Well, exactly. Now, unsurprisingly, it is not streaming anywhere, so it might be tricky to find. But as far as I could tell, it was released on DVD at some point each season. I know. But because it was made in the 70s, or, well, mostly in the 80s, we're not talking HD here.
No, the quality is not going to be great. DVD is going to be hard to find and probably super expensive.
Exactly, and it might only be released in the UK or something like that, like even harder to get or play here, because as far as I know, DVDs are still region locked, right? Like different regions around the world. I don't know. I haven't bought one or played a DVD in a long time.
I don't know if I have a device that has a DVD player. My laptop, maybe, but that's it.
Well, I have, I think I do, but either way, I don't see myself going out of my way to get this on DVD, but it sounds fascinating. So I want to see if I can dig this up somewhere and check it out, because it sounds like it's right up my alley. Very Twilight Zone-y, and I'd never heard of it before. So I'm excited.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you track it down, let me know.
All right. Thank you, Chantel, for pointing that out. And Roald Dahl, too. I mean, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, I imagine there's all kinds of good content there that, you know, I had no idea any of it was made into a television show. So exciting stuff. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your emails and your calls. Let's move on into some Walking Dead news.
The Walking Dead news.
All right. Do you recall talking briefly about Norman Reedus being injured on set while filming season 11?
Yes.
All right. He's kind of spoken about it for the first time, and it's not much of a quote, but he did tell Entertainment. He said this to Entertainment Weekly. The whole ordeal for me personally was terrifying. I thought I was going to die. It was very serious. It was scary. I've been hit in the face and the head a million times. I've gone through car windows, but this one really rung my bell.
Huh.
So it sounds like he was hurt more than it was originally reported.
Well, it depends on the injury too, right? Because there's scary injuries and there's, injuries just like shit that is going to take some time to heal. Getting hit in the face, getting whacked in the face with something going through a car window, but it depends on the nature of the injury, I suppose.
Well, I mean, he got hit in the head and he had a concussion. That's what we knew when it happened, right? And then he recovered for a few weeks and got back to filming. But it sounds like he was more worried about it than we sort of knew, but yeah. I'm just glad he's okay, obviously.
Yeah, concussions are, there's a lot of that in the news, right? Getting your bell rung can have long-lasting you know, implications if mm-hmm. if you have a concussion. So yeah, I can see that for sure. And as you get older, getting injured is a lot scarier because takes longer to heal. You know, it's more severe. You know, simply falling down is something that a 6-year-old does on a, you know, 400 times a day, mm-hmm. and they're generally fine. You know, he whacked his head on the stove the other day, and just like, oh, and then forgot about it.
And then 5 seconds later, he's okay.
Yeah. Is it bleeding? No. All right.
I mean, you're taking out the garbage and practically scalped yourself. Like, geez.
Practically, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't get a concussion or anything, and it didn't really ring my bell, per se, because I remember being lucid and calm through the whole experience.
Uh-huh.
But I can see that being, you know, retroactively fucking terrifies me, right? Like I said before, there's an alternate universe that's pretty close to ours where I'm dead.
I would be very sad.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'd be dead. I wouldn't give a shit at all.
Right.
But that kind of, you know, it's kind of a non-existent retroactive fear.
Right.
You know, so it's really kind of a strange feeling. It frightens me that it didn't happen.
And also you're happy that it didn't happen.
Also happy. Like the time we were getting our roof done and the roofer fell through. I told you about this, right? Fell through the roof. Like they were pulling all the boards off the roof to bunch them to replace them.
Uh-huh.
And the guy fell into the hole through the ceiling into my son's crib. Like he ended up in the crib. Jasper was about 9 or 10 months old at the time.
Not in the crib at the time.
He and his mom were downtown because she had brought him to work she wasn't work. She was still off on maternity leave, but she brought him to her office to show him off.
Right.
So he wasn't in the building. I was working at the time. And so that, again, something that did not happen. Fucking terrifies me.
Of course.
Right? Because this guy and a bunch of roofing material fell into the crib.
Yeah.
Where my son may have been. You know, it was during the day, but and it was mid-morning kind of thing. I could have placed him in there to do something. You know, there's a very good possibility that he could have been in that crib.
Yeah. I mean, that's terrifying. Also, what kind of hack roofers did you hire?
Well, I thought... accredited ones. I mean, they fixed everything that's fine, but that guy should have been fucking tethered.
Like, yeah.
So that's the biggest problem I have. And I did have a conversation with the contractor and we've decided that we're not using that contractor again. Cause they also stepped through the ceiling in another room during the same roofing project. Just somebody stepped through the ceiling in the office. We're like, yeah, we're done with you guys. Finish the roof. That's fantastic. But, I don't think we'll be using you again.
God, I think that's the right call. Anyways, glad that all was okay.
Guy was fine. Guy was just, he was shook up.
Yeah, yeah.
He was not injured. Didn't bleed or anything like that. The crib was fine.
Really?
Not a scratch on it. It was in perfect shape.
It's a heavy duty
Nothing
crib.
Nothing broken. It was great. Loved that crib.
Wow.
Threw it in the garbage. Like we had 1-800-GOT-JUNK come and take it away one day.
Yeah, yeah.
It had nothing to do with the quality of the crib. We just didn't need it anymore.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that all worked out okay, and I'm glad Norman Reedus is okay.
Me too, because that kind of thing can be scary.
For sure. Okay, quick news item here. Entertainment Weekly asked Gimple, showrunner Gimple, or Walking Dead Universe steward Gimple, if there will be a post-credits scene on the final episode of The Walking Dead. What do you think he said, Jason?
I think he said it sounds like something that could happen in somewhere in one of the episodes. I think he hummed and hawed and didn't answer.
Well, you're not too far off. Specifically, he said this. I just got to say maybe. We're up to some things, so maybe.
Right.
Now,
not
listen,
a politician.
I will say that the article in Entertainment Weekly goes on to speculate what the post-credits scene could be. But I'm not going to talk about that because I don't care about that. If there is one, I look forward to seeing it, but I don't even want to think about what it might be. I have my own ideas, but not a topic for here. So the point is that they are still working on that final episode of season 11. And maybe there will be some kind of post-credits scene stinger, whatever, at the end. So when those credits roll, everyone, in 8 weeks, 9 weeks from now, don't immediately turn off the episode.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I learned how to answer questions without answering questions. Like what politicians do is you don't even acknowledge the basic question. Because if you acknowledge the question, then you give the reporter, whoever's asking the question, the power of making you answer it. It's just, you know, ask, is there going to be a post-credit scene to the final episode of The Walking Dead? The question is, what kind of episode are we going to have? So are we going to have an episode where there's lots of excitement and stuff? And I just want to say that there's so much quality entertainment in store for this final episode that you will be blown away and terribly excited to have seen it. And you'll walk away with this as a memory of a lifetime.
Perfect answer.
Right? You did not answer the question. You did not acknowledge that the question existed. You just pivoted to what you wanted to say about whatever the topic is.
Totally.
So this is how you answer questions now.
I have learned the same thing. A friend of mine, who I will not name here, is actually a fairly prominent politician. And so I see him on TV sometimes. I hear him on the radio. He's quoted in the media all the time. And I have noticed that about it because I pay attention more to it because he is this politician than I would have specifically before. And they do stuff like that all the time. A question is asked and they just kind of answer some other mystery question and that's what they do. And it keeps the conversation moving without actually telling us anything.
Yeah. The best one is the best way to answer that is if it's the first question. Welcome to the program. Is there going to be a post-credit scene for the final episode? First of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. Yep. Thank you very much. This is very important. I'm very excited about this episode of The Walking Dead. And then you go into your rant.
Yeah,
your rant stuff. It's easy to pivot on the first question. After that, it gets a little bit hard.
Yeah, you just got to get off on the right foot or the wrong foot and talk about whatever you want to. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to see how it's not done? Go watch an interview with Anthony Weiner, the guy who kept sending his dick pics to random people and could not stop, the politician.
Yeah.
Some of his press conferences at the end of his career. It's not how you do it. Oh. It's funny stuff.
Well, such an unfortunate name.
Well, yeah. And he tried to use that as a perfect out. You know, when you have a name like mine, you're going to get people that are hacking your feeds, your tweets in order to send this kind of stuff out.
He
tried to use that.
Blame his pervy behavior on his name. Come on.
The problem is he kept doing it. Yeah. He just kept doing it. He could not stop.
Oh, God. Jokes just write themselves.
Yeah.
All right. Next article here is about AMC president Dan McDermott. He was asked by Entertainment Weekly if there is too much Walking Dead content upcoming, Jason. Here was his answer. We spend a lot of time focusing on how much is the right amount. The last couple of years, we've had 16 episodes of The Walking Dead, 16 episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, 10 episodes of Walking Dead World Beyond. That's 42 episodes of television. That's a lot. Going forward, the Rick and Michonne show is 6 episodes. The Daryl Dixon show is going to be 6 episodes. The Maggie and Negan show is going to be 6 episodes. We have Tales of the Walking Dead. So you're actually going to see fewer hours of Walking Dead content on our platforms. So
there it is.
So he answered by saying, we've already had a lot, and in the next couple of years, you're going to get less. So how can it be too much?
Too much is never enough.
No, according to this guy. I don't think the actual number of episodes is the only factor here. You got to think about the quality and you have to think about the fact, at least I do, that they seem like they might be spreading themselves a little thin, right?
Yeah, they're going from sniper rifle to shotgun,
right,
is what they're doing. They're just kind of going to spray and pray at this point. It's open the door, stick the barrel in, pull the trigger, and see if you hit anything.
See what happens, right? That's what they're doing.
It's might be good for a money-making thing, but it's not good for a quality. I think the quality would be less.
I mean, unless everything they put out is amazing quality, that'd be unheard of and incredible.
Yeah.
Probably unlikely, though.
The amount of money you'd have to, like, they're going to have to spend a lot of money all at once to get all these shows off the ground at the same time. So the money's got to be spread around. It's not going to be like every show gets to spend $14 million on its pilot. It's going to be, we have $3 million. How do we spread that around? We're going to give you $47. We're going to give you $52, and we're going to give the rest to that show.
Right.
Because that show's got the best option for making it.
The best, like, chances.
Can you make a show for $42? I don't know. You probably could. It's not going to be great. It won't have anybody in it. It might not even be filmed on a camera that doesn't come in your pocket.
Right. Well, we will see. We will see. But he seems to think that there's not too much content, and in fact, there's less. So how could it be bad? Alrighty, so Entertainment Weekly, a lot of this comes from them. They recently did this big cover story on The Walking Dead. That's why there's so much content from EW. There's a bunch of interviews. They talked about all the different shows, speaking of those. And I've got a bunch of quotes here to run down. Jeffrey Dean Morgan had some comments about AMC revealing the Dead City spinoff, his spinoff show. About them revealing that information early. He said, that's not the way we should have gone about it, but this is how it was chosen to play out. And who knows, maybe we couldn't have kept the secret, but it seems to me we could have given it a shot. I would have tried to go about it in a different way, but look, that's above my pay grade. So he kind of called them out for announcing it before Walking Dead ended and revealing that him and Maggie definitely survive.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shitty thing to do, to throw somebody else under the bus. It's like, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. That's there's a perfect opportunity here that they missed. And, it's not great, but what are you going to do? I'm just an actor.
Yeah.
Like, fucking just shut your mouth, man.
Well,
shut up.
Well, listen, Angela Kang and Greg Nicotero also expressed some surprise. Here's a quote from Kang. We didn't know the exact timing of the release of information. I assumed that wasn't going to be announced. So it does change the way certain things are going to play in the season compared to how we thought they would play.
Huh.
I think that's a pretty revealing quote, to be honest, because she's saying, like, now that you know this, you're going to feel differently about how the final 8 episodes of The Walking Dead play out. So does that mean there's a scene where maybe it seems like Negan or Maggie are dead and then they're not? Or does she just mean that if they're ever in a perilous situation, it's not going to feel as serious because you know that they get out of it somehow? Like, she's kind of calling them out too, you know,
yeah.
Saying, what the hell, guys, you're undermining your own show here by revealing this information.
People are idiots. I would hate to have to run a show. What do they hear? Being a showrunner is like writing a novel, painting a painting, doing your taxes all at the same time.
Yeah.
And taking care of a toddler or a 47 toddlers, because this kind of thing happens all the time where I'm talking to Jasper. It's just like, buddy, your actions right now will have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So think about what you're doing right now and what it might impact in the future, about even just how I feel about letting you do stuff. Right. Am I going to be more inclined to let you have ice cream after dinner if you're bouncing off the walls and, behaving badly? Or if you're perfectly nice and everything is fine, then having ice cream after dinner would be perfectly reasonable. So it's the same kind of thing. It's just like, okay, sure, the marketing department is separate and they have their own ideas on how they want to market things, but they're like a bunch of fucking toddlers. Like, you don't really think about the trouble that they can get into, but if they're quiet and then you can't see them, they're doing something probably that is going to get them in trouble.
Right.
So you got to be on top of them all the time.
All the time.
And it's got to be so exhausting where that's your entire job, is to stay on top of all these things and all these people to make sure that they're in line all the time.
Well, a lot of moving parts, right? But
God,
yeah,
horrible, horrible job.
Tough job. Well, sticking with JDM and their spinoff, he said this about the show. If you'd told me that a year ago that I would be doing it, I would have said, there's no way. I'm going to end this and walk away. The new adventure awaits doing something else. But I think that with The Walking Dead ending and walking away from it would have been a noble thing for us all to do. But the story was so good and so worth telling that I simply came down to I couldn't say no. And I felt invigorated and wanted to continue it. That's about his decision making going into, you know, walking away from Negan in the Walking Dead universe or coming back and continuing to play him in Dead City.
I'm sure the bag of money didn't hurt.
It probably didn't hurt, exactly. Yeah.
You know, we'll give you a bag of money. No, I don't think I can do it. I don't think it's a great idea. Okay, here's three bags of money. And, you know, the same thing happened with Sigourney Weaver in Aliens, right? She didn't want to do another movie. She's like, we told the story. That's it. The story's over. I wore those tight little underwear at the end of the movie. That's all you get.
Uh-huh.
And then they drove a dump truck of money up to her house and said, we'll give you a whole bunch of fucking money.
Yeah.
She said, fine, but no guns. And then all she did was shoot guns in the whole movie.
And then they said,
so pissed.
Here's some more guns or more money.
At that point, she's just like, yeah, you know, yeah. Fucking, you know, dump the money into my pool. I'll dig it out later.
I'll just fill it up. Yeah, I'll fill that sucker up, you know.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, the thought occurred to me that, you know, Mike Tyson, you've seen Mike Tyson, you know, he exists,
yeah.
Right? Have you ever seen him fight?
Well, kind of. I'm not so into boxing, but okay.
But his just like one hit from him, it's like a fucking freight train.
Yeah.
Like in his prime, Mike Tyson in his prime, you know, he goes into a fight and 30 seconds later, the fight is over and he's got $118 million for doing that fight.
That's a lot of money for not a lot of work.
I was talking to my friend Daryl during around that time and it really was like being hit by a train. Like there's no coming back from that kind of power. And so Daryl asked me, if they gave you $10 million, would you take a hit from Mike Tyson? It's like, fuck, that'd be tough. I think it would be the last hit I would ever take.
Mm-hmm.
It might kill me. It will send me to the hospital. But $10 million, that's a tough call.
Tough call, but you don't want to be killed by one punch.
No, I'd let him bite my ear off. Like, I absolutely would let him tear my ear off for $10 million.
Okay.
The punch I might not do.
Well, yeah.
Ear I can live without. $10 million for an ear? Fucking yeah. But getting hit in the face where the whole thing gets caved in and you are basically on a breathing tube for 6 months, maybe not.
Yeah, I have to think about that one a little.
But, you know, when they start offering you all kinds of money, it's tough to say no. It's like, yep, the story is pretty compelling. I'll have to agree. So I'll do it for that money.
That's right. Well, he also said this about filming the show because they are in production right now. He says the two of us, meaning him and Lauren Cohan, are on set 24/7 every day. We had such a big cast for so long. You work 3 days an episode and then you're working on the next one. And now I'm struggling to stay fucking 5 seconds ahead of what we're doing tomorrow. He's just trying to say that this show is just about him and Maggie. So they're in like every scene, right?
Yeah.
Whereas on Walking Dead, he'd come in, work a couple hours and then get out of there because there were so many other characters to focus on. So it's a little trickier. But then he also said this, Negan's back to fucking chatting up a storm. So it's been very fun and it's very familiar and yet it's different and it's new. What's really great is that Lauren and I are together. So Negan's back, Jason. I think Negan's come a long way since the early days of his introduction. And I hope we're not going back to like season 7 Negan too much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel about that. I don't think it'll be the same because the environment he's in is very different. He's not the leader of a community anymore. He doesn't have all these people to like preach to. It's just him and Maggie. I mean, I assume that's what's happening. But so I don't think we're going to go back to the Negan that I didn't really like. But he does say he's talking more, which is old Negan.
Yep. I mean, it's tough, right? Like when you walk up to a buffet and you have all kinds of choices to make, you fill your plate full of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You go back and you have yourself a good meal. But if you walked up to the buffet and the only thing that was there was cupcakes and all you had, you know, it's like you fill your plate with cupcakes. I mean, sure, a cupcake is delicious and you absolutely love it. But when you have a plate full of cupcakes and you eat them all, it starts to get distasteful after a while.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
I'm hoping that this isn't a bunch of cupcakes.
Agreed. I want a variety of pastries and cookies and cupcakes.
Yeah, and, you know, rice and roast potatoes and roast beef and all kinds of good stuff, you know, full buffet. But having a buffet that's just cupcakes is just like, yeah, I got here at the dregs.
Not so good.
Not so good.
All right, well, we will see when the Negan and Maggie show comes on next year sometime. Couple more things here. Moving on to the Daryl spinoff show, Norman Reedus was asked about that, and he said, "We knew we wanted to make a show that went in the opposite direction, just because we didn't want to do the same thing. And it's going to be way different. The story's way different. The characters are way different. There's a different tone. There's a different light. There's different sound. It's a whole different vibe. This is going to be fucking epic." So everyone likes to say the F word a lot, but dude, Jason, on the Daryl spinoff show, there's going to be different sound.
Okay, good.
I think that is good, yeah.
I like different sounds. I don't like the same sound. If everything was pink noise all the time, I mean, I like a good pink noise, but you know, a little variety every now and again would be good.
Absolutely. There's going to be different light, too.
Okay, you know, pink light. That's fine. Whatever. That works for me, too.
It's going to be similar, but way different.
Yeah, speaking of cupcakes, I mean, if there are pink cupcakes, it would take a lot of cupcakes for me to get sick of pink cupcakes. I like any food that's pink.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, strawberry shortcake, delightful. Those pink coconut rolls you get at the drugstore.
I don't know what you're talking about, but maybe you'll have to get me one someday.
It's like a roll, and it's got coconut on it, and it's got cream on it on the inside, and it's pink.
Okay. Sounds delicious, I think.
It's delightful.
All right.
I haven't had one in a long time. I should get one.
Go get some of those. Bring one over to me. Finally, Dan McDermott, the president of AMC, was talking about the Daryl spinoff, and he said, "The series follows Daryl as he wakes up and finds himself somewhere on the European continent and tries to piece together what happened. How did he get here? How's he going to get home?" So that's interesting. We knew Daryl was going to be in Europe, and I think we already know he's going to be in France, and we all wondered how he gets there. Well, it sounds like Daryl wonders the same thing.
Excellent. So maybe we'll get flashbacks of how he got there.
Maybe we just won't know. I can't imagine the whole point of that series is going to be him trying to figure out how he got there. But also, I don't think they can just ignore that. It's like Daryl wakes up in Europe suddenly. And
for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason. And he doesn't know how he got there. Is the whole point him going to be trying to get home? Like Dan McDermott says, like, I think that's weird if they do that, to be honest. I think he needs purpose. He needs to be there for a reason.
No, they did that with Star Trek Voyager. You never saw Star Trek.
No, I
did not. So Star Trek Voyager got thrown out into the Beta Quadrant or the Alpha Quadrant. I don't even, someplace far, far away where they were going to take them 70 years to fly home.
One of the five quadrants, right?
One of the five quadrants. And then there's Quantum Leap, where he kept having to leap into different people all the time until he finally got to leap home.
But he didn't have control over that, right? In Quantum Leap?
Yeah. So he was trying to go do time travel, I think. He was trying to do time travel, but the time travel only happened with his consciousness within his lifetime. So he couldn't go back too far, and he couldn't go forward at all. Mm-hmm. So his consciousness kept leaping into other people, and he had to solve their problem in order to leap away.
Right. so he doesn't. Right. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't have control. Anyway, so it's the stuck far from home. How do I get home? Kind of thing.
Well, fine, but just kind of. It feels like it's going to piss me off if there's no explanation to how he got there.
There's going to be. It's going to be Planet of the Apes. So, you know, where we have Charlton Heston being caught in a net and then dragged away. Like, so that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be some, you know, hyper-intelligent ape-type scientists that are going to capture him and drag him to France. And he's going to escape, and he's not going to know why he's there. So he has to investigate the hyper-intelligent ape scientists to figure out why him, why there, why now.
Well, I mean, it's in France, so it's got to have something to do with that post-credit scene from World Beyond. But when you said Planet of the Apes, I thought you were saying, like, it was Earth all along, you know, Daryl thinks he's in France, but it was actually Alexandria all along. He just
yeah,
lost
that'd
his...
be fine.
Yeah, I don't
that'd
know about
be
that.
I don't know about that either, but yeah, they didn't go anywhere. So that's the thing. Now, I'm just thinking that, you know, Charlton Heston was captured by Dr. Zaius.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I'm the Daryl spinoff to me feels like the weirdest of them all so far, but we'll have to wait and see. That, though, finally is the end of the Entertainment Weekly quotes. I pulled out some new information there, some funny, ridiculous answers, but that's where we stand on the state of the Walking Dead universe right now. All right, before we wrap it up here, Jason, I've got a call from Jacob that I just want to address before we call it a night.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Jason. I'm just calling because I have a few grievances with the way what they're now calling TWDU is going. You know, they started talking about this. There's three sequel/spinoffs in development, and Fear's coming back for season 8, and we've got Tales this and Rick Grimes that, and I'm struggling to find myself getting excited about it because they're basically telling everybody what's going to happen before it happens. I mean, in a way, the final 8 episodes of the main show are ruined for me now because I know that all the biggies make it out alive, and that takes away half the tension for me. And then, you know, Tales of the Walking Dead has just been weird, and I think that they picked weird concepts for the limited amount of episodes they have, and I'm just confused at the direction. The only good episode I've seen of that so far was Alpha's riveting riverboat ride, but even that was kind of, I don't know, I guess mediocre. But then Fear the Walking Dead, I mean, you can write that son of a bitch off. I don't think they're ever going to be able to get that one together. So I'm just really confused, like, why are they spreading themselves so thin? Why can't it be contained to, you know, just one show? End The Walking Dead, start a new show with new... I think that this super-duper spin-off extravaganza kick they're on is going to get them in real big trouble if it hasn't already. And I'm worried that all of this stuff that they're building up that will no doubt is supposed to at least lead up to a finale event, that finale event may never come if they botch the build-up. And we'll just have a bunch of canceled shows that led to nothing, and there will never be a satisfying end for this franchise. But that's just my opinion, and I wanted to see what y'all think. Keep it up, and I'm a longtime listener and have no plans of stopping anytime soon. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thank you, Jacob, for that. So he kind of summarizes a lot of the things we've already talked about, spreading themselves thin, too many shows, you know, things like that, ruining the final 8 episodes here. But it got me thinking. Oh, and he also sort of said, you know, it's should they be leading to some sort of all-encompassing franchise finale for the Walking Dead universe, tying it all together? I think that would be exciting, but not in their plans. I mean, they want to keep this going for as long as they can, and even if they do come to some Avengers Endgame finale, they're just going to reset and go from there with something else after that. But it got me thinking a little bit more about what is going to happen in the next 8 episodes, and how is The Walking Dead show, the main show, going to end? And I wanted to see what you thought, Jason. You know, not so much in terms of like what actually happens, but should we be preparing ourselves for something that doesn't really feel like an ending?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
And, you know, or will they be able to do something satisfying that is going to wrap up 11 seasons of this show in a way that we all think is great and are super satisfied with, but also setting the stage for all the upcoming shows, and whatever else they have up their sleeve. Is it even possible at this point for them to deliver a satisfying ending? That's really what the question is. And I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. You know, it makes me wonder about the endings of other shows that I've liked. You know, what's endings of certain series were satisfying and which ones were disappointing. And it's surprising what I found, what I think of when I think of satisfying endings. And it's surprising what I think of when I think of disappointing ones. Specifically, Lost, I really liked that ending. I really thought it was a wonderful ending. It makes me tear up every time I see it. I think I'm about ready to start another watch of Lost. It's been like mm-hmm. 5 or 6 times. Mm-hmm. Battlestar Galactica, I can't even start that show again because I hated the ending so much.
Just because, before you move off of Lost, you know, I am with you. I really like the ending of Lost too, but you and I are in the minority on that.
Yeah,
most of the world.
Everybody's wrong. Sorry.
I hate to say something sort of like dickish, but like I look at that ending and go, I don't think if you hated it, I don't think you understood it, honestly. And
yeah.
That makes me sound like an arrogant prick. I know it's not the first time, but that's just how I feel about it. And I really like that ending too. I agree with you, but if you survey the internet, we are in the minority on that one.
So, and where we differ is that I didn't mind. I'm going to go as far as to say I did not mind the ending of Dexter. You did not like the ending of Dexter.
So bad. Absolutely terrible.
And I didn't like the ending of The Sopranos at first.
Uh-huh.
But the more I've seen the show, I've watched the show from beginning to end a couple of times now. I'm about ready to start that one again. But the more I think about the ending of The Sopranos, the more I like it.
Sure.
So it's a different kind of ending, but I did enjoy it.
I've never watched The Sopranos, so I don't know. I mean, I know what the final scene is, so I know that as an ending, but I don't really know what leads up to it, right? And that's a huge part of it and why you like it more now than you did at the time, because you've had a chance to think about it and put some perspective into your feelings about it.
Right. So what this is all leading up to is what am I looking for in the ending of The Walking Dead? What are the things that I like that that could lead to a good ending of The Walking Dead? And unfortunately, I don't think that any of that other stuff applies. So it's great that I talked about it, but I'm not sure that I can apply the logic to that. The ending of Lost is a feel-good ending. It's a, you know, it's a satisfying ending in that everybody, the ending is satisfying for everybody. They all get what they need. The ending of Friends is the same kind of thing. Everybody, you know, moves on with their lives to something that is bigger and better and new adventures, except for Joey, who got nothing except for a spinoff show, mm-hmm. which again, too many cupcakes, but I am in the minority in that I liked Joey.
Okay.
I kind of liked it, but that's okay. So what do I want from The Walking Dead? I don't want everybody to walk away satisfied and happy. That's different than all the other shows that I kind of like the ending of.
Yeah.
I kind of want everybody to die. but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? I know that. That's been spoiled already. That's the kind of how I felt about the ending of The Sopranos. I kind of wanted everybody to die. I wanted there to be a big war between the families. I wanted the streets to be bathed in blood, and I wanted everybody to be fucked up.
But is that because they were all like terrible people, and you thought that's sort of what they deserved? Because I don't think it applies to The Walking Dead. But then maybe it does.
This is not a happy show. That's the thing, is that, you know, the show is not about people achieving what they want in life and getting out of it everything that could ever make them happy. I mean, sure, some people could walk away happy. Maybe Father Gabe could be somewhat satisfied, even though he's the only one who deserves his own spinoff show, in my opinion, at the moment.
Uh-huh. Don't you think that Father Gabe and characters like Aaron are just destined to be killed off? Like, if everybody else is surviving, who's going to die? Well, those guys don't have their own spinoff show, so come on.
I think everybody needs to die. I think that it needs to, Alexandria needs to be fucked over sideways and blown up to the point where they can't go back, and that most people die and everybody gets scattered to the wind. It's gotta be dark. This is, I think, what I need out of this show, is that this is a dark show, and I think the ending needs to be dark. I don't think the ending needs to have hope and happiness, which is what I liked about all the other endings of those other shows that I liked.
Right, but I mean, the show isn't as dark as it used to be, I don't think. The Walking Dead was a lot darker in the first six seasons or seven seasons than it has been in the last, you know, four or whatever. It definitely still has that element, but I don't like, it's changed a lot over the years, right? And I don't know if we end on a super dark note like that, where, you know, it isn't a happy ending, nothing works out, you know, that's one way to do it, but it feels like it's kind of coming back full circle to what the show was like at the beginning. And maybe that's okay. Like that can be a good way to do it.
It's been a long time since Carol has killed a little girl.
Exactly. It's been a long time since things like that have happened. If they go for an uplifting, happy ending, you know, everyone gets what they want, that's going to feel kind of disingenuous to that early period of the show where it was so dark and kind of pandering to the last few seasons, which have definitely less quote unquote darkness. So they probably can't go either of those directions. But you're right. Like it's tricky. I don't know.
You think they've painted themselves into a corner?
Well, here's the thing. They also have the source material. They have the comics, right? And the show has strayed from the comics significantly in some ways and not so much in other ways. And I know you haven't read to the end of the comics. I have. I don't know if you recall. You asked me and I told you basically everything that happened at the end of the comics. You may not remember much of that now.
No.
Yeah. So you're going into this without any real knowledge of how the comics ended. Whereas I kind of know all that information and I expect some of it to play out on the show, but honestly, not as much as I might think, just based on where they are now and what was going on in the comics at sort of this time. So, the comic ending to me was an uplifting ending.
Okay.
And so if they're going for tone or trying to match that tone, I think that's what they're going to try to do on the show. Give us some hope coming out of the final episode. Hope for exactly what? Like, I don't know, you know, hope for long-term survival of people, hope for the return of actual society, you know, something like that. I don't know. But that's kind of my guess, is that they're going to try and make it kind of positive. And I think I want that. I don't know. I think I want it more than you do, but you know, we'll have to see. But what I was mostly worried about and why I brought this up is because regardless of what tone they go for, really dark or really hopeful or whatever, I'm just hoping that it feels like an ending and that it satisfies the ending of this story as much as they can do, and not just like any other episode or any other season finale that is setting up what's supposed to come next. I don't think this show's job should be to set up what comes or what is coming in the spinoff shows. They need to stand on their own. You know, just having the fact that they're familiar characters should be enough. but this show needs to end on its own terms, and I hope that's what's going to happen, but I'm not 100% convinced it is at this point.
Yeah, they've done that before where shows have had, secret pilots, right? A soft pilot for another show. I think the Cosby Show did that with a number of spinoffs that they were doing, where they kind of started the first pilot of that spinoff was actually a Cosby Show episode.
Oh, weird.
So, yeah, so they've done that. Another show, there was one with Matt LeBlanc in it. Before he was Joey, there was a spinoff show. Oh, it was Married with Children. Yes, that was it. Married with Children did a soft pilot for a Joey and Christina Applegate going off and doing their own thing.
At
the end of, yeah, it was it was pretty nuts. So shows have done that before where they set up the spinoff within the show.
Yeah.
Usually it's comedies that do that kind of thing because they can get away with that. But it's happened. And I looked up shows with the most spinoffs to see, this whole scattershot thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be new. And there's some big obvious ones in there. Law and Order, there's so many spinoffs. Well, they're not really spinoffs, but there's so many different variations of that. NCIS, JAG, Star Trek. Like Star Trek has so many, it's still going on.
Yeah.
Like it's still happening. It's to the point where there are whole shows that I haven't watched.
Sure,
yeah. And seasons. Like Picard, I watched the first season, but that's it.
Yeah.
So it's
not a new thing, I guess.
It's not a new thing.
But at least with the Law and Order thing, that's all different characters on every show, right? Like here, we're getting the same characters moving on to new shows.
Yes and no. Jerry Orbach left the main show and moved on to, he kind of retired from the NYPD and he moved on as a private investigator for another, I think it was Law and Order Trial by Jury, which actually starred Lilith.
Okay.
From the actress who played Lilith in Cheers and Frasier.
Yeah.
So he was on that until he passed.
Well, I don't know. I haven't.
Yes, there's other things like Stabler has moved on. He's in another, apparently a new Law and Order. Oh, I think
about
crime families. Anyway, mafia.
Right,
something earlier.
Right.
Anyway, there's, yes, the actors have moved from one show to the other.
Well, it's not exactly what you're talking about with sort of doing a hidden pilot, but there's a certain Star Wars show out there right now that, I don't know, rhymes with Mobamet that included another character that suddenly really felt like it turned into that other character's show.
That was pretty rough. That was it was not bad.
Sadly, that episode that I'm thinking of was the best thing about the Mobamet show. So that's kind of sad for that character. But anyways. What are you going to do? Exactly. Okay, one more thing here that I wanted to mention. You know how, Jason, they've been putting out the episodes a week early on AMC Plus for all these Walking Dead shows?
I've heard that, yes.
Yes. Well, they are going to continue doing that for the final run of episodes on The Walking Dead. And all indications right now are that they are, in fact, going to release episode 24, the final episode ever, a week early on AMC Plus.
What are they doing?
Well, my question to you is, do you think they should do this with the final episode, or should they hold it back and not release it a week early, put it out on the 20th when everyone can see it?
Just
on AMC.
They should hold it back, and I'm flabbergasted because the level of dumbassery involved in this is staggering.
Listen, I think it's extremely convenient to have access to the episode a week early because I can watch it whenever I want. I can take my time thinking about it. All the notes I make for this podcast, it helps. But you know what? The final episode ever is going to be out a week before we podcast about it. And it's going to be really, really hard to avoid spoilers for that. You know, I can do it generally for a normal episode, but that's because people don't go out of their way to like talk about it and post things about it and like intentionally spoil it because people are dicks. I think for the final episode, it's going to be that much harder. And I just think AMC should fine release all the other ones a week early and then hold off on that one. Put it out all at the same time and let everyone experience it and love it or hate it all at once.
Well, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, the whole point of releasing the episodes a week early on AMC Plus is to drive people to AMC Plus. So, true. Having this episode and knowing that this episode is going to come out a week earlier in the minds of the money bag important people where they're considering their money, you know, it's going to drive viewership to AMC Plus. The fact that they're fucking over their fans that don't have AMC Plus is secondary in their minds because, you know, if they really were fans, they would go to AMC Plus and get it a week early and they wouldn't be screwed over. So it's their own goddamn fault.
Yeah, it just bugs me. Like, I get it. I understand why they're doing it for the money to drive people to the streaming service. That's where they want the eyeballs. But it just, it sucks.
The other edge is what about all the people that do pay for AMC Plus and they've bought into this for so long. They get their episodes a week early and then all of a sudden these people are paying for AMC Plus and they don't get their episode a week early. You know, we're actually screwing over people that are giving us more money in order to make people that don't give us any money at all happy.
Right.
And they can't do that either. So it's tough.
It's rocking a hard place situation is what you're saying.
Yeah. And it makes perfect sense that they're releasing it on AMC Plus a week early in those thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying I kind of wish that it wasn't coming out and who knows, maybe it won't. They haven't officially announced it either way other than the fact that we know that at least most of these episodes are going to come out a week early. So
this whole streaming service situation that we've gotten ourselves into as a society is distressing. Like it's worse than the friggin' TV companies with their stupid boxes.
I don't know. It's becoming that way. That's for sure. But
what we need is a class action lawsuit in order to force these streaming services to license all of their content to a core independent service that's maybe even a conglomeration of these various streaming services so people can pay one fee to get everything.
Right.
Similar to the goddamn beer store that we have in Ontario. It's owned by a bunch of the beer companies that basically agreed to, you know, we'll sell all of our beer, even though we're competing brands in the same store. Instead of having 47 different kinds of beer store, it's like, okay, let's go to the Labatt store. But I don't want Labatt crap. I want Canadian crap. And so you have to go to two different stores to get two different kinds of stupid beer. You know, it makes sense. Or even the theater companies, right? There was a point in time where all of the theater companies had their own theater chains. If you wanted to see a Universal or an MGA movie, you had to go to the MGA theater. And if it wasn't playing at an MGA theater that was close to you, you had to go farther away to a Universal Studio theater until there was a class action lawsuit that said, no, fuck you. Everybody should be able to see the movie or whatever theater is closest to them. So the theater companies, and that's where they got the distribution thing. We need that same kind of structure for streaming services so that this friggin' bullshit like AMC Plus is doing right now and Netflix and Disney Plus and all of these other streaming services where you have to pay for individual streaming services just to get a goddamn show. it drives me crazy.
Well, I pay for them all anyways because I'm a sucker.
Yeah, but if you paid $30 a month and you got everything.
Yeah, that's the problem. If they were forced into doing this, they'd make it prohibitively expensive. Just like cable became.
It's already prohibitively expensive.
Well, like, it doesn't feel like it, though.
Yeah, I mean, you pay $13 a month now for 7 or 8 different streaming services. That's, you know, even if it's more than $50 a month.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Crazy.
That's for sure. All right, well, you start that. Go talk to your lawyer and get on it.
There's a difference between passion and effort willing effort to be put in. I'm not willing to put in any effort, but I am willing to be passionate to complain about it.
Tons of passion. All righty. Well, thank you, Jacob, for that phone call way back and for, you know, bringing that point up. All right. That is it for this podcast, Jason. I do want to thank some new patrons before we go, though. We've got three new people who went to patreon.com/thetalkingdead and pledged their support with a small monthly pledge. That would be Robert R. Thank you, Robert. Justin S. and Grace O.W. And I say Grace O.W. because her last name is hyphened, and that's the first initial of both the names. So thanks to all three of you for becoming patrons. And because you did, you will be included in the 8 more Patreon Prize-a-Palooza draws that we have coming up when The Walking Dead returns next week. So we're only a week away from announcing our next Patreon Prize-a-Palooza winner, Jason. I'm excited about that.
Super.
For episode 17, which is the next episode of The Walking Dead, the prize consists of these four things. You know those family stickers you see on the back of cars? Back window of cars a lot.
Yeah, yes.
I got a set of those, which are like a zombie family. That's nice. In there. I've got a Walking Dead greeting card set. There's also a Walking Dead laptop sticker. One of those things that goes on the hood of your laptop. It features Bicycle Girl from season one, if you remember all the way back
I do.
To that. And the best part, an original Talking Dead podcast t-shirt from the original run. I still have a few of those hanging around.
Excellent.
That I'm going to throw in there. So the winner of all that will be announced during our recap podcast for episode 17, which is coming in about a week from now. In fact, 7 days from right now, we'll probably be sitting here recording it. That's exciting. If you want to get in on that, it's patreon.com/thetalkingdead. And even if you don't, it's a great place to go and help and support the show. And yeah, we appreciate everyone who does.
Yep.
All righty. If you do want to get in touch with us, and you know, before next week, you certainly can. You can visit talkingdeadpodcast.com. Click on send voicemail at the top to record a message that will be sent right into us. You can also find us on Twitter at Talking Dead or send email to talkingdeadpodcast@gmail.com. All right, man. That is it for the off season, if you can call it that. Next week, it's back to the regular season. We will be covering The Walking Dead, recapping it, doing our feedback shows. So make sure you do get some feedback in once you've seen that episode. Even though next week, AMC is putting out the first two episodes of the third block, we are only going to talk about episode 17, and then we will do episode 18 the following week. You know, the normal way of doing it.
So annoying.
That's right. I have been good, though. I have been able this whole time to prevent myself from watching ahead. I only watch the episode that we're talking about until we've released the podcast, and then I go and watch the next one. I don't want to... You know, I don't want to know what happens in the next one when I'm still sort of talking about the current one. That's been my policy.
And I will not watch the episode until moments before we podcast
about until the day that we're recording. That's right.
Well, at least, yeah, the day of. I try and get it done before the end of the workday.
Yeah.
If I can squeeze it into watching it while I'm working. But, you know, worst case scenario, it'll be, you know, 7 o'clock at night. I'll sit down and go, honey, I can't do bedtime. I've got to watch a zombie show.
Got to go watch a zombie show. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's exciting. That's all coming up very, very soon. And of course, culminating with our season series finale watch party in San Francisco on November 20th. So
you're going. When are you leaving? You're leaving on November like 20th?
No, I go on Thursday, November 17th. On Monday, November the 21st. It's going to be awesome. And I just, you know, based on our conversation about the episodes coming out earlier, I don't know if I will have watched the finale before watching it at the party. I haven't decided yet. If it's out early, I don't know if I'll watch it. If it's not, I will not have seen it. I'll just watch it live with everybody else.
I've watched a few episodes in a crowd of things.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I'll be hard pressed to properly kind of pay attention. And the thing is, technically, we'd be recording our recap of it the following night after I have flown home to Toronto and come back and then have to somehow get ready to sit down and record an episode about it, which means I will need to find time to watch it again, make all the recap notes. I mean, I know I have a whole plane ride to do that, but the one time I tried to do that, it did not go well. So we'll have to see, but
that'll be tough.
No matter what, figuring it out. I took the time off work, so every spare moment I have, I'll be watching Walking Dead, I think.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks so much, everyone. Until next time, Walking Dead's back. My name is Chris.
My name is Jason.
Thanks for listening.
Toodaloo.